Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. قال تبارك وتعالى في شان حبيبه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبد الله ورسوله. Respected ulama-i kiram, respected elders and brothers in Islam, and perhaps our ladies who may be listening on the receivers. We had a topic which we had discussed 2-3 weeks ago regarding the history of Muslims and Islam in our province of Natal. Many people found it very, very interesting, and they felt that there must be a continuation of that particular topic. So inshallah we will continue with that topic, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates hadith that the brothers, al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. So something that's of blessings we should be speaking about. to preserve the memory of those who laid the foundations of Deen in our country. But prior to going into our topic proper, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has blessed us to witness this Mubarak month of Ramadan. And how fortunate indeed we are that we are witnessing this month of Ramadan. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned that if we had to ask the people of the Qabristan, the people in the Qabr, we'll have to ask them that what do you cherish the most? And they will reply, one day of Ramadan. That's what the marhum will say, one day of Ramadan. It shows us the value of these days of the month of Ramadan, that it shouldn't be spent in futility. Every bit of this month, every moment of this month of Ramadan should be valued and treasured as far as we can. While we are enjoying the month of Ramadan, and we see the sumptuous foods in front of us, let us not forget that part of the ummah that is making the suhoor and the iftar and the taraweeh within rubble. Let us not forget the Muslims of Gaza, and currently there is a blockade on them, and a threat again of an attack from the apartheid Israeli state. So let us think of them, especially at the time of iftar, that when we're making dua, while we make dua for ourselves and our families, let us not forget the people of Gaza, the people of Sudan, the people of Kashmir, the people of India, and the people of Syria, and all those other places in the world, those hot spots in the world, where people are mazloom, where people are being oppressed. Let us not forget them, and let us raise our hands, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipate them from oppression, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the difficulties that they are facing. It is our incumbent duty that we have this feeling for the state of the Muslim Ummah and for the Ummah at large. It is a sign of our Iman. Truly it is a sign of our Iman when we have concern for more than ourselves. It's not about I, me and myself. It's about other people. It's that we have this fikr and concern for the Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not just lip service, it must penetrate our hearts, this fikr and concern for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we need to alleviate, we need to uplift the Ummah in whichever way Allah has given us the ability to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only question us about what's within our capacity, not what's out of our capacity. So within our means, we should try to uplift the Ummah in any way we can do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Now coming to the point of departure in the last discussion we had, and we came to the point where we spoke about the first Muslims that came to Natal, and then we explained about the various masajids that were built. There's one correction. The first masjid was built in Verulam. The first Jamia masjid was the Grey Street Juma masjid. So in the entire Natal, the first Juma masjid or Jamia masjid was the Grey Street masjid, which was the second masjid which was actually built in Natal. So continuing from there, now I mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that barakah lies with our akabirin. And if we look at those 12 ulama, and I'm going to inshallah, if Allah gives life, we will discuss the different ulama who laid the foundation for deen in our country. We do not realize the effect that they had on the landscape of our deen. Just this week, I was listening to a clip, a voice clip, of a Salafi scholar. While we do not agree with Salafism, and we have serious issues with Salafism, because it's not part of mainstream Islam. But despite that, he mentioned that he came to South Africa from the United States. He came here in 2006 or 2007. And he says that he has never seen Islam in a Western country as he has seen it in South Africa, and particularly in Durban. He says he has never seen Islam like anywhere in the world, and a person who's widely traveled, how he has seen it in South Africa and particularly in Durban. And he says he spoke to an elderly woman, 90 years of age plus, and he asked her that, how is Islam so alive in your country? And she mentioned that the madrasa, the maktab, the madrasa, that's what laid the foundation for our deen. The madrasa kept our Islam within us. It kept our Islam safe within us. And from generation to generation, our deen-i ta'aleem has been passed on from the humble madrasa, the humble maktab it has been passed on. It's something we must cherish, that what we have in this country. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Now, coming to one, the last thing that I mentioned in the previous discussion is the fact that the Jamiatul Ulama was established in 1955 by a set of 12 ulama. Then there were only 12 ulama in the entire, as a membership of plus minus 500 ulama over a passage of time. And the Jamiat has celebrated, we won't say celebrated, but it has reached a milestone of 70 years of existence from 1955 till today. Now, there was a young person who asked me, and I'm going to base my discussion on this before we come to the personalities who formed this organization. I'm going to basically explain, I explained to this young man, he wanted to know, what do you do at the Jamiat? And I'm using this platform and I'm using this medium to invite you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, from the minbar, he made an alan when there was a need for assistance, when there was a call made for jihad fi sabilillah, there was a call to buy a masjid, to establish a masjid, there was a call to spend in the path of Allah. The person came to him and he said, I'm hungry, I need something. Nabi Kareem sallallahu would ask somebody, does anyone have anything? Can anyone entertain so and so person? So if he didn't have it, he'll ask somebody else. Can somebody do this favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Doing a favor to himself in reality. So I explained to the person that it's a very good question, and this I'm often asked the same question, that what is an organization like the Jamiatul Ulama? What do they actually do? So briefly trying to explain, this organization that was established by your elders, it has to have barakah in it. Because the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is very clear and explicit that barakah is with our akabirin, with our elders. And it is these people, these ulama, and I just mentioned a few by name so we can relate. Maulana Abdul Rahman Ansari rahimahullah, Maulana Qasim Muhammad Seema, Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji, Maulana Sayyid Lut, Maulana Abdul Qadir, Maulana Muhammad Desai, Maulana Sabat. So these were some of those seniors who established the Jamiatul Ulama. And their primary focus was the preservation of Islamic knowledge. And to formulate a syllabus, which they most beautifully did, alhamdulillah, and that's why we see the progress of deen in our country. Every time we see a masjid being built, in reality, it's the establishing of a flagpole of Islam in the ground. We will never see that a masjid is ever sold. We only see masajid which are demolished. They are demolished. We can see in the last 1.5 years in Gaza, hundreds of masajid have been destroyed in Gaza. We can see that daily, the brutal Indian army, how they destroy masajid in India and in Kashmir. We see that daily. The Chinese, how they destroy masajid within China itself. But you never find a masjid ever being sold. And today, alhamdulillah, we see in the United Kingdom, so many churches have been bought off and they've been converted to masajid. The Christians will sell their places of worship. The Jews will sell their places of worship. But never will a Muslim ever sell a masjid. It is unheard of that a masjid is sold. So a masjid is established, waqaf. It is given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Qiyamah, that piece of ground where the masjid is, that will be lifted up as well. Because it's sacred ground, it's sacred land now. So alhamdulillah, we see the number of masajid. Just in our locality, we can see that in 1904, like I mentioned, the Ghazal Sufi Masjid was established. But today, alhamdulillah, two more masajid are going to be established in our locality, coming to four, the total number of masajid in our little suburb, four masajid, alhamdulillah. The needs of the community. And throughout South Africa, every month we hear of a masjid being established, a masjid being erected, as Muslims have branched out in different various areas. So whenever we see a masjid, we must lend a shoulder to that masjid. And some little contribution towards the establishment of that masjid. This very masjid was established around the year 1989. It was ready for Salah in 1989. The first person who gave the money for this was Maulana Yunus Patel rahimahullah. When the Mashwara took place, and when they decided that they want to establish a masjid here, three individuals, they want to establish a masjid. When they made Mashwara with him, the first person, Maulana Yunus Patel rahimahullah, took out 50 rand and he said, this is towards your masjid. This was the first contribution to this masjid. And this masjid to the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, it will perpetuate and the person will get the thawab, inshallah. So wherever we see a masjid, establish that masjid. But it's not only masajid that a community requires. We require the masjid, we require the madrasas, we require the hifz classes, we require various aspects of deen. We require clinics, we require social, we require shelters, we require orphanages, we require qabristans. That's all part of the equation of the Muslim community. Like that, we need organizations like the Jamiatul Ulama. Because the organization at the Jamiatul Ulama are actually fortresses of the Muslim community. Now to explain to that young person, I was explaining to him that what we do in the Jamiat. So basically, as far as the Jamiatul Ulama KZN is concerned, it was established in 1955, and then it continued in an informal basis. And in 1973, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Fatel, rahimahullah, who was the imam in the Midlands area, Hawi Kumoy River, somewhere in that area, he was specially brought down to formalize the organization and to establish its offices. And the first offices were established in Sayani Center in the Grey Street complex in the Durban CBD. And I've heard this from him personally. He says, the 20 years of my life I gave to the organization. And I was the secretary, I was every capacity I filled. I was the welfare officer, the marriage officer, the counselor, the social officer, and until he became the leader of the organization, or the amir of the organization. And this is how he made khidmat. And it was the barakah of these individuals, alhamdulillah, that sees that, that so much of work Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken from the Jamiatul Ulama. I'm not here to blow a trumpet. I'm here to appeal to the community. That's what I intend doing. So alhamdulillah, the Jamiatul Ulama, it's made its footprint in 13 countries in from the time of its inception, alhamdulillah, with masajid being built as far as Indonesia and various other projects, fatawa kitabs, printed and published and distributed in the Russia and in the Caucasus as well. And alhamdulillah, in the very recent years, much aid being given to those people in Syria, in Turkey, Afghanistan, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and in parts of Africa. In Sierra Leone, there was a project done where there was a shortage of Quran Sharif. If you look at our shelves, mashallah, there's a Quran Sharif in every masjid. There's enough Quran Sharif in our masajid. But there are countries in the world where there are no Quran Sharif. So I was intending to bring the slate with me from Sierra Leone to show it to the Majma, but I forgot about it by the will of Allah. So this slate, as recently as 10 years ago, they were still studying in the maktab, in the madrasa, and the recitation of the Quran Sharif using a slate, a wooden slate, where they write, they erase it, and they rewrite on a slate because of the shortage of Quran Sharif. Alhamdulillah, a businessman from Durban, trading with somebody in the United States, who is originally from Sierra Leone, made an appeal that we have a shortage of Quran Sharif in Sierra Leone. So alhamdulillah, we got the process moving, and we had the Quran Sharif printed in India and then transported to Sierra Leone. Now, I also wasn't aware exactly where Sierra Leone is, but it's in the heart of Africa and it's diamond country, but in poverty, abject poverty. That's the story with the entire Africa and the colonialist powers. So nonetheless, a long story cut short, we only could send one person to Sierra Leone to oversee the distribution of the Quran, 10,000 Quran Sharifs. Not a very big amount, but a very an amount of Quran Sharif that was very appreciated. And the cost, I'm talking about 2014, the cost of sending one person to Sierra, because there's no direct flight to Sierra Leone. So the cost of sending the person at that time, I remember, was about 35,000. Just the cost of sending that one person. To go there to ensure that these Quran Sharifs are not sold and they are distributed equitably wherever we could do it, in Freetown and in other surrounding areas. There was a man who, a 100-year-old man, who traveled 10 kilometers on foot to come receive his first copy of the Quran Sharif in his life. A 100-year-old man traveling 10 kilometers to receive the first Quran Sharif in his life that he can hold. And the pictures of the before and the after the masajid shelves, and simple masajid, not like ours, you know, very, very well decorated masajid, etc. So alhamdulillah, this is an example of one particular project and a footprint that was put in Sierra Leone. So coming back, so the Jamiat has its head office, or its nerve center as we call it, in the Alpine Road, in Overport. Now today we know that this particular area, Overport, Asheville, Morningside and surrounding areas, it has a concentration of 50,000 Muslims. We were a non-Muslim. 50,000 Muslims reside in this area alone, in this particular precinct within a certain radius. So it's located in the heart of the Muslim community. And in this particular head office, to give you to explain what happens here, the administration center, the nerve center of the organization is located here. Then another very important aspect is the fatwa department. Now the fatwa department is that department which is inundated, and especially in Ramadan, from the community. So last year, giving you some actual statistics, last year, 2024, 7,000 fatwa were officially written and signed off from the Jamia. Approximately 7,000 fatwa. One fatwa needs two people to read it, proofread it, check it, recheck it again before it's dispatched. Then another important function is the estate certificate. When a person passes away and he leaves a Sharia will, which we all should be doing, a Sharia compliant will, then that will is sent to the Jamia. And the estate certificate is issued explaining the Shari'i share heirs or the Shari'i share fractions, and that is sent to the master's office, and that's how the estate is finally distributed based on that estate share certificate. Then another very important aspect is the publications and the IT department, the website. So all the posters we see in the masjid, boards we see, from years we are seeing them. There's a lot of work that goes into them. There's a lot of checking, working, proofreading, checking and rechecking before it goes to every masjid in KZN. And now it's not only going to KZN, but it's going across the world. Alhamdulillah, this morning an email was received from Australia. And a particular poster of illegal parking. How we have a parking problem in our country, they've got the same problem in Australia. Blocking driveways and jamming others, etc. And we know the problems that we encounter when these things do happen. So they wanted to know whether they can use the Jamiatul Ulama KZN poster in Australia in that particular place. So we can see the reach has become very global, and especially in the global village that we live today. So that's the publications department. Daily an email is sent out. Every single day an email is sent out. An istiftah, question and an answer, and some nasiha. Like that, using social media in a beneficial way. Various social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. and WhatsApp, whatever. So reaching out to the community, and particularly trying to reach out to the youth today who are very, very attuned, especially with social media. Then another very important aspect is the social counseling and the marital center. So here we have a full-time psychologist. We've employed a full-time family psychologist to deal with ladies' problems. And alhamdulillah, some good news that we haven't been inundated with the marital problems. Normally the first 10 days of Ramadan, we get inundated with marital problems. So alhamdulillah, this year it hasn't been so bad. Alhamdulillah, it has happened, but not so bad. So we make shukr to Allah that there's less discord in the Muslim community. So here we have counseling and couples who are going to separate, for example, or the issuing of fasakh. And fasakh means the annulling of a nikah. Then sometimes other things related to marriage, counseling a couple, etc. Then if a divorce takes place, then assisting the couple to go through the legal process, etc. Working with the legal people all the time and going through due processes, etc. So this is another aspect. Then we have the bookshop, which is based here in the head office as well, and the project help department. The project help department is help empower local people. So doing an outreach to local people, trying to win their hearts towards Islam and softening their hearts towards Islam. So here obviously one cannot use zakat, etc. One can only use sadaqah or lillah to help empower local people, especially in the squatter camps, in the schools, providing water, providing any kind of relief, emergency relief, etc. Then there's a mediation and an arbitration department. Many times businesses, heirs, go through various difficulties, so they come for mediation or arbitration, and alhamdulillah is professionally handled with legal people as well. So mediations and arbitrations are common in a day-to-day events. Then moving on to the next office that we have is called the welfare department, which is based in the Durban CBD. And alhamdulillah, thousands of people are assisted here on a monthly basis. The average spend is about 2 to 2.5 million rand per month. the average spend. And alhamdulillah, family has been gracious enough to allow us to use this. So alhamdulillah, so many people are assisted in the form of rentals, lights, water, basic utilities, napkins, caregivers, etc. Approximately 600 families' rentals are paid on a monthly basis. And for that to be paid, we have to send out two people every day to do a home visit or a home check to see that that zakat has been properly discharged or not. So for that purpose, only lillah funds can be used. Zakat funds can't be used for administration purposes. We have to separate lillah funds and zakat funds completely. Zakat funds cannot be used for administration purposes. We have to separate the two. So that's the welfare department. Then the issuing of bursaries on an annual basis to students in tertiary institutions and especially in the universities, technical colleges, in the trades, in the Darul Ulooms, providing them with tertiary education. And then there's another department or another office structure which is called the Ladies Skills Development Center, which is also based in Brickfield Road. It's based above the engine garage there. Quite a nice center. And I'm making an appeal to our sisters who may be listening to me that be part of giving back to the community. Alhamdulillah, we have many volunteer ladies from Westville who come there to impart basic BSc skills. What is BSc skills? Baking, sewing and cooking. So every 6 months we take in 12 students from the disadvantaged community, teach them give them a sewing machine as a gift, which they take home with them thereafter, which belongs to them. We pay for their taxi fare to come. We provide them a meal at the center, which is perhaps the only meal they eat sometimes. And every 6 months, a graduation process takes place. At the end of the year, 24 ladies have been empowered to become self-sufficient. So instead of giving them the fish, give them the fishing rod rather, and give them dignity and respect and empower them. So they go back with the sewing machine, they go back with skills which they have learned, and they have madrasa education as well in the Ladies Skills Development Center. It is very, very beautifully laid out. If any of you want to visit it, by all means, inshallah, we can take you on a tour to show you what it encompasses, and they make some really good stuff as far as clothing, cooking, baking, etc. is concerned, floral arrangements, caregiving courses. So all these skills are taught to our ladies. So now I'm coming to the final part of explaining that alhamdulillah at the head office there's a need for a musalla. Place has run out. We have approximately 28 staff in total and we are running out of space. And there's no musalla currently. So the boardroom serves as a musalla and is difficult at times. So a new musalla is being erected and a ladies counseling center is being erected. I am asking you in the name of Allah, like how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made i'lan for assistance, that we are asking the community that contribute lillah in whatever form you can. No amount is too small. Every cent counts. That we can put up this center, which will be a means of your sawab jariyah, inshallah, for every sujood, every ruku made there, that will become a means of your sawab jariyah. Long after you've gone from this world, that is perhaps the best investment with the highest return, putting your money in the cause of Allah, anyway in the cause of Allah. So people give a lot of zakat because they have to give zakat. There are individuals who give millions of rand of zakat because it's fard, it's not negotiable. But while you may get a person who gives you millions of rand of zakat, he will not give you a cent of lillah. And very often I ask business people that, how must I discharge your zakat? For me to discharge your zakat, I have to have an office. I have to have an administration center. I have to have somebody vetting the person coming there. I have to send two people out to verify that your zakat gets discharged properly according to Sharia. For that, I need lillah funds. I can't have zakat funds for that. So we are making an appeal with the erosion of the small trader, businessman. The business community has been the biggest donor to all our institutions, the business community. Because there's barakah in business, alhamdulillah. And obviously our professional community also contributes. But this hasn't been showcased to our community as to what we do and what we need. What we really need is lillah funds to run these organizations. And I'm just going to end off in the next minute. I posed a question to Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji rahimahullah. When I noticed that the Jamiat was having difficulty collecting funds way back in the 90s, and I asked him, but I said, why didn't you all buy properties when you all established this organization in the 50s, 60s, and properties were much cheaper? Why didn't you all buy? He looked at me very sternly and he says, remember, yaad rakhiye, we were not in the business of making money. We were in the business of serving the deen of Allah. We were not in the business of making money. We were in the business of serving the deen of Allah. And alhamdulillah, Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji rahimahullah served the deen of Allah at the age of 80 till the last breath, going to the Jummah Salah, on his way to perform at the age of 80 to give the Jummah Bayan. En route, the last breath was taken in the path of Allah. What a life, what a life. So actually today I was going to speak about Maulana Umarji rahimahullah, and in subsequent weeks about all the others, Maulana Qasim Muhammad Sema, Maulana Ansari, their biographies. Since we do not read anymore, so at least we can hear their biographies and take ibrah and lesson. But Allah put it in my heart that speak about this today, because his entire life was a Jamiatul Ulama. From the time of inception till his demise, he served the Jamiatul Ulama for 48 years. Continuously for 48 years till his last breath. So I'm making an appeal to you in the name of Allah that we need your assistance. We do not need your assistance. Allah is calling upon you for assistance. Rally to the call of Allah. When the call of Allah is being made, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will say, who wants to spend in the path of Allah? Who wants to attain Jannah? When Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought his entire wealth and gave it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His entire wealth he gave it to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyidina Umar thought that this time I'll outdo him. And he gave 50% of his wealth. But yet he couldn't outdo Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who gave 100% of his wealth for the sake of Allah. And even when he was questioned that what have you left behind, he said, I left Allah and his Rasul behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deen needs multifaceted assistance. One is the building of masajid. One is the qabristans. One is this. One is dawah centers. We need experts in comparative religion. We need experts in everything we need. But this is also one branch of deen where assistance is required to make sure that the wheels are turning and being of service to the community. That we can give sometimes small amounts. It doesn't have to be a large amount. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes consistency. That you give something with consistency. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah accept whatever little broken efforts we are doing. Allah accept it in His court on the day of Qiyamah. We do not know what we do, whether it's accepted or not. Only on the day of Qiyamah will we really know the acceptance of our good deeds, the acceptance of our fast, the acceptance of our tarawih, the acceptance of our tilawatul Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept each and every one of us for the sake of His deen. And let us become ambassadors of the deen within our own capacities. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.